Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here this morning. How many of you have heard of a person named Eric Weinmayer? Anyone heard of a person named Eric Weinmayer? No? Well, on May 25th, 2001, Eric Weinmayer became the first blind person to, what do you think? Tell your neighbor, what do you think? On May 25th, 2001, Eric Weinmayer became the first blind person to, tell your neighbor, what do you think? What do you think he was the first blind person to do? Okay, I think I heard someone say it. Right here, let's look. This is base camp of Mount Everest. The next picture. Eric Weinmayer was the first blind person ever to scale to the top of Mount Everest. Mount Everest. And actually, in 2008, Eric Weinmayer completed the seven summits. What that means is he climbed to the highest point, the highest peak of the highest places on all seven continents. And that feat has only been accomplished by 150 people in all of history. And Eric Weinmayer was blind and he accomplished that feat. He co-founded an organization called No Barriers. No Barriers. And this is the mission of No Barriers: to help people with challenges, all of us to some extent, to turn into the storm of life, face barriers head on, embrace a pioneering and innovative spirit, and team up with great people to live rich in meaning and purpose. And this is the motto of No Barriers. What's within you is stronger than what's in your way. What's within you is stronger than what's in your way. Incredible. You know what I call Eric? You know what I call Eric? Eric is an overcomer. Eric is the definition of an overcomer. And like their mission says, like the mission of his organization, No Barriers, says, all of us have challenges in life that we need to overcome. I believe spiritually, God wants you to be an overcomer. Spiritually, God wants you to be an overcomer. A couple of months ago, the Lord just brought that to mind. Overcomer, this idea of overcomer and being an overcomer. And I felt the Lord wanted us at some point to do a series on being an overcomer. And so today we're starting a brand new series, and it's titled Being an Overcomer. And to prepare for the series, this is the first of the series, and so I thought, well, we'll do an introduction. So I looked up all the verses in the Bible that have the word overcomer in it. And it was actually very interesting for me and a little surprising about what this idea of overcomer has to do with and what the biblical idea of overcomer is. So as an introduction, we're going to look at just a couple of the key verses that talk about being an overcomer. The first being John chapter 16, verse 33, a very well-known verse. Okay, so we're going to start there, John chapter 16, verse 33. And let's look at it together. Let me read it for you. This is Jesus talking, and Jesus says this to his disciples: these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Let me read it again, short verse. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Okay, we're going to look at this verse more in detail and then some other verses, but before, let's have a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you that you are the overcomer. You overcome every single thing that stands and that is in opposition, contrary to God, to you, to your Father, to the Holy Spirit. You overcame it all at the core, at the foundation. And thank you, Lord, you invite us. You give us the gift of in you, Lord, being overcomers. We can overcome whatever is in the world, whatever the enemy throws at us, because you have gone before us and overcome. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence here. We ask you, as the Bible says, to teach us and guide us and lead us and speak to us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus starts this verse with this phrase, "These things I have spoken to you." And so what things is Jesus talking about? He says, "These things I have spoken to you." So we have to ask ourselves, what has he just spoken to them? Well, in John chapter 13, this comes from John chapter 16, in John chapter 13 through 17, we find Jesus and the disciples in the upper room. All those chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, it's them in the upper room, and Jesus is instructing his disciples. They're there to celebrate Passover, but it is the Last Supper. It is their last meal together before Jesus is going to be arrested, crucified, and die. So this is a very serious meeting, right? It's their last meal together before he goes to the cross. And Jesus has spoken to them a lot of things, a lot of very significant things, a lot of very heavy things Jesus has spoken to them. So one of the things Jesus talks about, he's going to be arrested. He talks about he's going to go to the cross and die. Jesus tells them, Jesus washes their feet and tells them, do like this, love one another. Jesus tells them and actually points out one of them, his very own, one of the 12, he says, one of you is going to betray me. And we know that is Judas, so Judas stands up and he goes and he betrays Jesus. He tells them that he's going to prepare a place for them in God's house, actually in God's mansion. He tells them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter. Him in the Spirit is going to come and be with them and be in them and be for them and teach them and guide them. He affirms his love for them. And he affirms the love of the Father for them. And he tells them, the world will hate you because it hated me. But I have chosen you out of the world. But the world will indeed hate you. And he says, you will be sad because of what's going to take place. You're going to be filled with grief. But he says, I will see you again, and they will be filled with joy in such a way no one can take it away from you. So these are some very heavy, some very significant things Jesus has been sharing with them on the eve of him getting arrested and then ultimately going to the cross. All right, so the verse is, these things I've spoken to you, so those are the things he has spoken to them. And then Jesus goes on, so that in me you might have peace. In me you might have peace, even amidst all this stuff. So basically, in summary, Jesus says, these bad things are going to happen. And you're going to be filled with grief. You'll get really sad and filled with sorrow. But the Father and I are in control. I'm telling you these things ahead of time to let you know I fully know and am fully prepared for what is going to happen. And because I'm sharing these things with you, I'm sharing them so that in the midst of them, you can have peace in me. You can have peace in me. And notice he says, You can, not that you can receive peace from me. He says that your peace, the peace that you desire, is in me. It's in me. It's not in the world. It's not in other people. It's not in science or the government or in medicine or in material things. Peace is in Jesus Christ himself. And that speaks directly to us, doesn't it? This is definitely an unpeaceful time, an unpeaceful world, an unpeaceful, even chaotic society. Where are you seeking your peace? What are you seeking after? What are you looking at to find peace in this unpeaceful time and season and world? Jesus tells them, peace is in me. Not like the world can give. It's in me. It's found in me. And then Jesus goes on to say, in the world you have tribulation. So Jesus is stating a fact. He's stating a fact. It's a given. He says, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be taken aback. Don't be caught off guard when you experience and see and face tribulation. Because he says, the world has and is filled with tribulation. You will face troubles. You will face challenges. You will face obstacles and difficulties. Why is that the case? Why does Jesus say this world is filled with tribulation? Well, let me give you two reasons, right? Two reasons the world is filled with tribulation. One, because the Bible says the world is under the influence of the evil one. This whole world is under the influence of the evil one. And we know that to be Satan, the fallen angel, the fallen archangel. Look at this verse, 1 John 5:19. It says this, we know that we are of God. And that the, what? Whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Did you get that? The whole world, all the world systems, the things that take place in this world, while we are living in this world, it's under the influence of the evil one. Secondly, because we experience tribulation in this world, trials, difficulties, because the whole world's under the influence of the evil one. Two, because people are prone to evil. People are prone to evil. Let's look at Psalms 53, 1 through 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable injustice. There is no one who does good. There is no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is anyone who understands, who seeks after God. Every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. We know in Romans it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know in the other places of the Bible it says the heart is desperately evil, corrupt. Right? And so the Bible's clear. You know, if you go on the street, and some of you here, if they were to ask you, do you think people are basically good or basically bad? I think the majority of people, maybe even many of you, you would say, I think people are basically good. Basically good. That is not what the Bible says. That is not, as Kyle and Damon are going to teach, a biblical worldview. And many people believe, many Christians believe that. They think, yeah, I think people are basically good. The Bible says people are basically bad because we have inherited a sin nature. Now, that doesn't mean that people cannot do good sometimes, right? People do good sometimes, but as a whole, people are born with a nature that it gives them a propensity toward evil, toward rebellion against God, towards doing things contrary to the will of God. That's the basic nature of humanity. That's the biblical worldview. That's a biblical perspective of things. That's why we need a Savior. That's why every single person who's ever lived needs a Savior. Because we're born with a sin nature, a propensity, something inside us that pushes us towards rebellion against God. You know, there was a book out, old book, maybe some of you read it like in high school, The Lord of the Flies, right? The Lord of the Flies. And in this book, right, this book, it's a study, it's a look at human nature. So in this book, these schoolboys are in this plane, and the plane gets shot down, because it's in World War II, it gets shot down, and it crash lands on a deserted island. All the adults are killed. So there's about 35 boys that survive, and they try to survive on this island. They set up this community. They set up their own community on this island. And what happens on this island with these schoolboys? Deceit, murder, hatred, anarchy, and, right? Several of them get killed by the hands of other boys. And then they finally get rescued, and they tell them the story of what's the mayhem, the horrific things that have taken place, and the people, the adults that the Navy that rescues them doesn't believe them, can't believe them. But that book, right, left to their own, over time, it might start off good, but over time, their sin nature, the evil, starts creeping in and taking over. That's a picture, that's a study of human nature. Okay, now consider this for a minute. The world is under the influence of the evil one, the whole world. People carry with them, naturally, without being saved, people carry the sin nature within them with a propensity towards evil. Is there any wonder then that Jesus says you're going to have trouble in the world, right? Because that's what the Bible says is the condition of the world. So don't be shocked. This pandemic, none of us really should be shocked by it. Things that are going on, conflicts that are taking place, wars that happen, all this stuff going on, none of us should really be shocked by it. Because Jesus told us, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have trials. There are many things you're going to have to overcome by being in this world. But Jesus says, take courage. Take courage. You know the word courage, the English word courage? It comes from the root word that means heart. Take heart. Let your heart be encouraged. Why? Why? This is the punchline, right? Why? Because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Be encouraged. You're going to have a lot of problems. The enemy is influencing the whole world. Everyone is running around. If they're not born again, not saved, everyone is running around with a sin nature. Even those that are saved, they have a flesh to overcome. All that is happening, but take courage, because why? I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I am the great overcomer. Everything that's in opposition to God, everything that's in opposition to the things of God that are good, everything that's in opposition, contrary, evil to what God wants, what God intended originally, what God has for the future, everything, I have overcome those things. I have overcome evil. I have overcome Satan. I have overcome the world. Everything I have overcome. He has defeated all those things, and he has been victorious over the world and everything contrary to God. Look at Revelation 17, 14. It says this, these will wage war against the Lamb. The world is going to rise up against Jesus himself when Jesus comes. They're going to try to oppose Jesus when he returns. So they rise up against the Lamb. But then look at, and the Lamb will overcome them. Why? Why is the Lamb, why is Jesus able to overcome? Because he is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Jesus overcame all these things on the cross and through his resurrection from the dead. He overcame death through his resurrection. He demonstrated to everyone he is indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the great overcomer, because he defeated one of the greatest enemies any of us will ever face, death. He overcame death to demonstrate that he is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He has overcome every single thing that opposes itself to God. And Jesus wants us to be overcomers in him. He overcame so that we will have a place, a person in whom, with whom, by whom we can also be overcomers. Overcomers. Look at these verses, 1 John 5, 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So our faith, last week I talked about, right, faith. Faith is not a mental thing. Faith is an action, a response, an act that demonstrates what you really say you believe. It's our faith that enables us to overcome. Verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, so Jesus says, if you believe I'm the Son of God, if you have put your faith and trust in me, if your life has demonstrated that faith that you say you have, you will overcome. You are an overcomer. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You have a source of power. You have the overcomer within you. By the Holy Spirit of God, the overcomer has come to live inside of you. You have the overcomer in you. And greater is that power and that person inside of you than anything the world, the enemy, can throw at you or I. Hallelujah. That's awesome provision by the Lord. By the Lord. Okay, so Jesus overcame the world. He overcame so that we could be overcomers in him. Now, what's our part? What's our part? How do we partner with God? Because God always wants us to partner with him together. Because he's trying to raise us up, train us up, build us up so that we will rule and reign with him. That's the master plan. God wants to bring us into a family, into loving relationship with Him, and to build us up so that we will rule and reign with Him. You know, tell that person next to you, you're awesome. Turn, you're awesome. You're awesome. Turn to them and say, you're God's child. You're God's son or you're God's daughter. Go tell them. Declare that over them. Now let's say, you're an heir of the King. You know what? You know what? Think about it. You're a child of the most powerful, awesome being that ever was, is, and will be in the entire universe or universes. And you're His kid. You're His child. You're a child of the Almighty God. Not only that, not only are you a child, you're His heir. That means you're getting training to be raised up to rule and reign with Him together. You're awesome. You're incredible. You have this amazing calling and future and destiny for your life. Wow, whew. I'm getting worked up here. Man. Now next week and throughout this series of being an overcomer, we're going to talk about, and I and others are going to talk about some more practical things, more specific ways that we can grow as overcomers. Next week, Kyle's going to talk about overcoming fear. Huge in this day, overcoming fear. But today, just as introduction, let me just kind of bring it together by just giving you five principles for being, very quickly, I'm giving you five principles for being an overcomer, okay? Things that we can do in our partnership with God. Jesus has done it all. Jesus has already done. Jesus already accomplished it. We are in Him and He is in us. The overcomer is in us. But He's trying to train us up and raise us up to partner with Him, and there's some things that we can do in partnership with Him. Okay, now this is based on Revelations 12:11. I've shared this before, this verse. We've gone out, but I think this is a key verse for this day and age and time and season. Revelations 12:11. And they overcame Him, the believers overcame the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Okay, so let me give you five principles of an overcomer. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Okay, the blood of the Lamb. So put your faith in Jesus and what He has done for you. That's the first principle of being overcomers. Overcomers put their faith in Jesus and what He has done for us. Let me tell you this. Whatever challenge, obstacle, trial, difficulty you are facing and will ever face in your life, whatever you need to overcome in your life, the answer is found in Jesus. Anything you have that's challenging you, any trial, any difficulty, any sin that's besetting you, any whatever you're having to face that's a hardship or trial or difficulty, your answer is in Jesus. Because He's the overcomer. He's the answer to all of our overcoming. Because what He's already done, what He's already given to you, what He's already said in His word, how the Spirit, His Spirit, will and can and wants to lead you, the truths that you and I need to believe and obey, Jesus is the answer to all our overcoming needs. He is the solution to every problem. It's in Him. It's in the person of Jesus Himself. And what he has given, what he has said, what he has done, what he provides, what he has blessed, what he's commanded, it's in him. So, the blood of the Lamb means Jesus has done it all. We acknowledge that. He's the overcomer, not only for your salvation, but in everyday life. In everyday life. Secondly, get trained. Principle of an overcomer, they're trained. They're trained up. If you're in a small group in our church, we've been going through the cleansing seminar. You know what the cleansing seminar is? Boot camp. It is like military boot camp. It is training. It's hard. It's tough. Because in that training, in that material, it's trying to clean out all the junk, get our minds right. You know, something that was from the teaching that I thought, this is awesome. This is amazing teaching. He says, our spirits are made alive in Christ, but our souls are not renewed. Right? We're new people in Christ because we have a new spirit, but our souls, our mind, our emotions, our bodies are not ruined. When you accepted Jesus Christ, did your body suddenly get younger, more virile, more, you know? No. So the Bible says all things are new, but it's talking about in the spirit. Your body is still the same. And your soul has still carries the baggage, the damage, the wounding, the lies. And so that's what the cleansing seminar is helping to, we have to renew our minds, heal our emotions, and discipline our will. Renew our minds, that's the soul. Renew our minds, heal our emotions, discipline our will. And a lot of the cleansing seminar is disciplining our will. It's disciplining our will. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, they have issues, they have problems because their will is so weak because of the society we live in. You know, the society, I'm starting to go off. We know the society we live in. You know, we live in this affluent society, this wealthy society, and we have all these inventions, we have all this technology. You know what I thought about? You know what the majority of the inventions do? They make life easier, more convenient. Right? You know, we can be, I got to do the laundry. Throw it in, pour a little thing. Oh, that's so hard. Right? Our grandparents, they're out there by the stream, right? They're doing this with HUC, seeing the Westerns, right? They're ruining it, that, right? And we're like, that was so hard. Right? And convenience, everything's like this, right? We want it like this, right? Fast food, right? We don't want to go. We gotta go shopping and cook up the meal. I just drive, right? You know what that's done? It's made us soft. Think about our grandparents and parents, right? You've heard their stories when we had to come over, right? We didn't have nothing, and we had to you know, find a job and find, it's like, oh my gosh. And we complain because living in an affluent society has made us so soft. So soft. You know, delayed gratification, what is that? And so the things like the cleansing seminar, it's trying to strengthen our will to say, no, I don't feel like doing that, but nope, I'm going to do it. Can you hold me accountable to do it? Because we're going to do this together. Because I want to get stronger. I want to build up my will. God doesn't want us to have a weak will. He wants to have us a strong will, but a strong will that's submitted to Him. A strong will that's submitted to Him can accomplish, He could use as a to do great things. If you have a weak will, if you just do whatever you feel like it, and if you are undisciplined, God cannot, it's hard to work with. God says, can you do this for me? I don't feel like it. I'll do it tomorrow. And so if you're in a small group and you're going through the cleansing seminar, get into it. Discipline, get into it, because it's training. It's boot camp to help build us up. Or join, we have these things now called tea huddles. Go on our website, Catholic Christian Community Dialogue. You could find out about tea huddles. Those are great things too. If you're not in a small group, you want to get in tea huddle. Okay, third thing, the word of their testimony. Know what you believe. Develop convictions about what you believe. Take the World Biblical View class. Get into a Bible study. Have a Bible reading program that you're going through, right? Because we need to, that's how they overcame, it says in Revelation 12:11, the word of their testimony. Four, show love and kindness. Okay, because sometimes we think overcoming is overcoming by force, but that's not the way Jesus overcame. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because the way Jesus wants us to overcome is not by the way of the world, the way the world overcomes. It's overcome evil, not with evil, overcome force, not with force, overcome a harsh word, not with a harsh word, overcome evil with kindness, with love. That's the way Jesus wants us to overcome. And then finally, it says they did not love their life even when faced with death. That's how they overcome. The final thing is, do not love this life or this world. If you love this life, if you love this world more than you love the Lord, then you will have a hard time overcoming. Because the world will have its hooks in you. And you won't want to overcome the world. You will want the things of the world. Now, God wants us to enjoy the blessings He gives. But if we love this life, if we love this world above loving Him, we will compromise our faith. We will compromise our faith. How did Jesus overcome the world? How did Jesus overcome the world? The cross. The cross. That's how Jesus overcame the world. You know, someone recently posted this. I saw it. And I was just, some of you have already heard this or read it. I thought it was just, man. This is posted, and it says, I think this was posted by a doctor or reposted from people that originally was from a doctor. He says this: today, I operated on a little girl. She needed O blood. We didn't have any, but her twin brother has O blood. I explained to him that it was a matter of life and death. He sat quietly for a moment and then said goodbye to his parents. I didn't think anything of it until after we took his blood and he asked, "So when will I die?" He thought he was giving his life for hers. Thankfully, they'll both be fine. This little boy, he thought he was giving his life to save his twin sister. This little boy was walking the way of the cross. Because the way of the cross says, I love the Lord. And I believe in Him even more than this earthly life. Even more than the things of this world. I believe and trust and love the Lord more than those things. And that's the way of the cross. That's the way we can know that we can overcome the devil, demons, the world, our flesh, is by not hanging on to our life, knowing that if we lose our life for his sake, we will find it, and find it abundantly. Let's bow forward to prayer. Jesus, thank you that you've given us everything we need. You provided everything we need to be overcomers. You yourself overcame, Lord. And in you, every single issue, every single challenge, every single difficulty, every single sin or addiction or problem, we can overcome in you. Lord, train us up, love us up, build us up, God, that we can, Lord, fully follow you into the life and the future that you've created us for. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this worship time, we're going to start with this song. I've asked the worship team to sing a song called Echo Holy. I just love this song. I've talked to several of you, and you said when you first heard it, too, you sensed the anointing of the Spirit on it. And I think the reason why I love this song is because it ushers us, it stirs our spirit to be in the heavenly places, to have our eyes lifted from this world to the Lord himself, to the scene of heaven, to the worship that's taking place. And it helps to set ourselves and set our eyes where they need to be. So let's sing this Echo Holy.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.